R53 in service, starting mileage 2962. Officers Perkins and Hurd. Tour of duty 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. on the night watch.
Check 53, 6.08 p.m. starting night watch.
This is Don Reed, and I'm the police recorder riding with this detective unit. The sounds you are listening to are authentic. And you're going to ride with us tonight and listen as the cases unfold. Now, I want you to remember one thing. The people you hear are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is what happens on the night watch.
Night watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch is presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California. W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We switch you now to car 5-3 on patrol and your police recorder, Don Reed.
It's 6:12 p.m. and we're westbound on Jefferson Boulevard. Well, it's been raining most of the day. However, it's let up right now, but the streets are still pretty slick. Now, we're on an investigation involving the theft of a large quantity of explosives that the day watch detectives have been working on. Can you fill me in a little bit on this, Sergeant?
Well, Don, one of the powder houses in the studio was broken into and burglarized this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And whoever pulled the job brought some of the stuff in the middle of the park and set it off. That's where we got our first lead.
I see. And right now?
Well, the day detectives have come up with the names of some pretty good suspects. Most of them are juveniles. We're going to over and check one of them out now.
Yeah. Well, how about these explosives, Sergeant? Are they dangerous?
Let's put it this way, Don. They aren't fireworks.
Mm.
We want 1216, Don. Can you see it over there? What's that address over there?
Well, that's 1240, 1232, 1218.
This is it, right over here, Sergeant.
Okay.
A young fellow. I believe he's the one we're interested in talking to. Sergeant Perkins is identifying us now as police officers and requesting to see his mother. The boy appears to be highly nervous. This apparently is his mother coming right now.
Yes?
We want to talk to your son up at the station.
What for?
Well, I'd like to talk to you separately, if I may. I can explain the situation first rather than talk in front of everybody.
Have you done anything?
No.
Not a thing?
Not a thing.
You want to wait out the car, son, just a minute, boys?
Girls, go to the kitchen. Tell your father to come in here.
Oh,
tell me he's done anything.
Well, we can tell you a little bit something about it.
Yes, sir?
I'm Sergeant Perkins, the police station.
How are you?
This is Don Reed.
How do you do, sir?
I see you. Situation is that we haven't talked to your son at all, but there were some explosives taken out of one of the motion picture studios. And your son was known to have set off a homemade bomb over here in the park. And supposedly some of the explosives are still missing.
Oh, no.
Now, I don't know whether he was involved in the burglary or not, but I do know he knows something about where the... Well, as I say, we're not accusing him of the actual burglary, but we are interested in trying to find out where the rest of these explosives are before somebody gets hurt. This one that was set off at the park over here, there's four or five small children around.
And you sure
you
set one off over there?
Yes, ma'am. We have about three witnesses to that effect. So we'd like to take him up there and talk to him a little bit.
Well, talk to him here now before he goes.
I'm afraid you'll have to go to the station with us, ma'am.
You think he's in it?
Yes, ma'am, I do. I wouldn't be down here if I didn't.
Oh, no. Let me just ask him if he's done anything.
I don't want you to talk to him, please, ma'am. Just
let me ask him if he's done anything.
If you want to come up to the station with us, we'd be perfectly happy to have you, but I can't have you questioning him at the present time.
Well, I'll be up there.
Okay. Try to tell your wife not to worry anymore if she possibly can. We don't want to upset her any more than we possibly can.
The suspect is being taken out to our police car, so we'll return to headquarters and pick the investigation up there.
Well, I'll tell you the list.
We're in the interrogation room of the Detective Bureau. and Sergeant Perkins is reading the list of the missing explosives to the young suspect. Incidentally, he appears to be just a bit worried. Now, let's see what he has to say when the sergeant finishes reading this list.
1 inch by 9 inch.
Eight of them.
What, tell me what happened.
We were just climbing over the fence to play around and all the sets. And we saw this red building in there, and it says explosives on it. So he took these two big bars and just opened up the door.
How old are you, son?
15.
15? How much trouble have you been in before?
All kinds of it.
What, for instance?
Robbery.
Burglary, that was, wasn't it?
Burglary.
Hardware store?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
And I can't remember. There's all kinds of little things.
Well, no, son.
In a stolen car, someone else.
Well, son, don't you think that in the past cases that you've had with our department here that you've been given pretty much of a break?
I know it.
I think it's getting to a point where we can't have any confidence in you. How do you get along at home?
I don't.
What's your problem there?
I don't like my dad.
Why?
He don't like to do nothing I like to do. Every time he comes home, he's always arguing at me, so I just don't pay attention to him anymore.
Well, how do you think it'd be possible for you to get along with your father?
I don't know.
You think that there's anything in particular that he could do to help the situation?
Mm-hmm.
You think he has anything that you could do to help it?
Yeah, if I leave.
Where would you go?
I don't know.
Well, son, we're going to book you on this charge. Then I'm going to call your mother and father and have them come back and see what can be worked out on this. But we can't have you continue the same training, because if you do, then we're going to have to put you in an institution. And I don't think there's an institution in the world that is half as good as your home.
About 30 minutes have passed. The parents of the juvenile suspect are just arriving in the office. And Sergeant Perkins is going to advise them now of the results of the investigation.
Now, one thing, your son was very cooperative, which we appreciate. But I think that in addition to this particular trouble that he's in, that there is a home problem. I think he has a feeling that, he says he doesn't like you, sir. And he has a feeling that you don't like him.
The reason why he don't like me, I'll tell you. See, I don't approve of these kids, these 15 and 16-year-old kids with these hot rods coming there and picking him up. And I run them away every time I get a chance to. And he's been wanting a car, and I flatly refuse to buy it. Which I think I am right.
Well, I agree with you that some of his associates are not the proper ones.
That's right.
And I think that one of the things that we will insist upon ourselves here, among others, will be that his associates are the proper type.
But we can't keep them away. It seems like the ones that he should associate with, they just come around like flies. No matter what we do, we can't keep them
and
away.
And the older boys are 18 and 19 years old with these cars, and I don't approve of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I run them off, and that makes him mad.
Well, possibly his going to a school where he would be away and have a chance to meet some pretty nice fellows of his own age.
That's right.
And then come home on weekends, maybe that'd be the answer to it.
That's what I think would be the answer to it.
Here's the thing. We're tickled to death and just as willing as we possibly can to help you work out the problem. I mean, that's what we're here for. We're not here so much to put these kids in jail and send them down to juvenile hall. We want to get them squared away and straightened up, because they're going to be the future citizens. There's no getting around it.
Putting the blame on me is not going to be the answer either.
I'm not putting the blame on you. I just told you that I didn't want him associating with them characters, and I don't.
Well, then it's up to you to pick his associates.
I'm not buying him a hot rod.
No,
it's
look.
It's up to you to then taking places, employ his mind, do something.
Here, let me explain something to you.
Someplace.
Well, there's no sense everybody getting upset about this. I mean, the thing has happened. Now we want to get it squared away. He said that you never wanted to do anything that he wanted to do.
It isn't that he really hates his father. He says he likes him, but he says Daddy doesn't like me. I mean, there's something wrong there someplace. Mm-hmm. He's always telling me.
Yeah, Daddy don't like him when he gets in trouble.
I think the thing now is to try to get him to be aware of the fact that he's going to have to earn his right to have various things.
That is the solution to it.
Possibly in the next few days you could find out something about a school, and I'd like to have you come back to the Juvenile Bureau if you would next Wednesday night at our juvenile hearings. And I know this much. I know that I've got the boy's confidence in the fact that I think he's really going to try. And if we're willing to help him, you people and the police department, I think we can solve the problem. I think we can lick it. If we go out here and make a good citizen out of it, we've done our job.
That's right.
If we have to put him in jail later in prison, we haven't done it. We've failed.
Well, one suspect is checked out and has admitted his participation in the theft of these explosives. And now we're following the second lead. We're at the home now of the second suspect.
Hello. You're from the police department.
Have I just got the call from my...
His mother is inviting us in.
Thank you, ma'am.
Walking now as I'm speaking. Through the front room. Into the young fellow's room. There he is, lying in bed. His face and arms are covered with cuts and bruises. Apparently he's been in an accident.
Want to ask you a couple of questions?
Has a diathermy lamp going. I can hear the hum clear over here. Let's move right on in.
We're taken out of the studio.
Pardon?
I'd like to know what you know about the explosives that was taken out of the building in back of one of the studios.
Nothing.
Well, we know that you do know something about it.
Explosives stuff? I don't know nothing about it.
Well, I think you know what I'm talking about. Let's not quibble about what it is. You know about going into the powder room at the studios. Now, do you want me to tell you exactly what you did and how you did it, or do you want to tell me?
Oh, I know what we got some, but we didn't...
How'd you get in?
Well, the front, that door there in the front.
You just pushed the door open?
Yeah, because I come running over there, and they says, look at this stuff, so...
Well, so far, you're not telling us all of the truth.
And then we went in there.
Let's tell the whole truth, son. The door was broken open. You're the one that did it.
I didn't break the door.
Well, who did? Which one did?
Well, no kidding. If I tell on him, it's pretty shaking.
What was the object of breaking into the building? You know it's illegal, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You know it's a felony, don't you?
No, I didn't.
Burglary is a felony. So it's going to be...
I'd just like to ask you one thing.
Sure.
How'd you find out about it?
You were seen by about three different people down at the park.
All right. When it happened, we weren't even going to take the stuff. And then when we brought it down there, we weren't even going to... We wouldn't have shot it off, but you know how it happened?
No.
The one boy was lighting a cigarette, and it went in this box, and it lit on fire, so we decided to use the rest of it. And it blew up all in his face, and his whole face it just got all covered up. And so then we decided just to shoot up the rest of it. Heck, it happened. We were going to just leave it down there and shoot it. We're going to save it for the 4th of July if we could. And then we decided just to shoot it off, and we shot it off.
You have to learn everything the hard way, don't you?
Your son, because of his injury, this accident he just had, we're not going to take into custody, but we will leave him in your custody. And if he's able to, we'd like to have him report in Wednesday night at the juvenile hearings. In the meantime...
That wraps up part two of the missing explosives. Sergeant Perkins is saying goodnight, so let's head on back to our police car.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Doggone it. I got my feet wet getting into the car.
Rain's really coming down now.
Yeah. How about those explosives, Sergeant? Can we account for them all?
Part of them. Tomorrow the day detectives will follow up and be sure we can account for all of them.
It's a funny deal. What do you think?
I think it's too bad those kids didn't think.
You are listening to Night Watch. And following the activities of a detective unit on their tour of duty. The people you hear are not actors, and every voice, every sound is real. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. We'll give you the final results of tonight's cases at the conclusion of The Night Watch. And now we switch you back to Car 5-3 and to police recorder Don Reed.
Units, attention all units, be on the lookout for the following stolen car. 1954 Nash, maroon in color, two-door sedan. License in the 8th column, 5 Nora 73850. That's 5 Nora 73850. Stolen car.
Did you get that on the hot sheet?
Yeah, I got it. Glad I brought my raincoat tonight.
153 at 1609 Britton Place. That's 1609 Britton Place. Man assaulting a woman. Call is code 2. Car 5-1, assist 5-3 in this call.
5-3, roger.
Well, that's
to be right around the corner, shouldn't it, sir?
Yeah.
Well, we're supposed to roll code 2. That's using red light on this call, but since we're a detective unit, we carry the red lens in the glove compartment. We'll be there before we get it on anyway. Looking ahead, a woman standing on the sidewalk facing the other way. Now she's spotted us and turning around. Her pulling into the curb. Second young lady, probably her daughter, coming up to put her arms around her. She's outside right now, despite the fact there's light rain beginning to fall. Well, let's get over there and check this out with the sergeant.
He left in the car. I have his car license. That's all I have.
What happened?
Well, they can tell you better than I can. She's my daughter.
I see.
Well, really, they were just quarreling. I mean, he's been drinking wine. He's drunk a whole quart.
Who is that?
Wine. My stepfather.
I see.
And we were all having a discussion in there, and so she wanted some more beer. So my stepfather and I went to get it. And he didn't want to get it. And he kept telling me all the time that she was no good and why did he need beer and all this sort of stuff. And so I told him, well, don't get the beer. Let's just go back home. So anyway, we came back home and we didn't have the beer, so she went to get it with him. So he's drunk. He can't even walk.
He cussed me out.
So
she
went and got...
vile names while he was on her way, and I got the beer and came home. And then we went into the little bedroom in there, and he wouldn't let me through.
She asked him real nice. She said, just please let me go in the other room. Just let me alone. So he just grabbed her by the head and knocked her on the floor and broke the mirror and pulled the hair out of her head and spilled beer all over the bed and threw it in her face and I don't know what all.
He's been picked up before on the same thing. He's been down to the police station before.
He just goes insane when he drinks. He just doesn't know what he's doing. He's capable of killing anybody.
No, it's the uniform car here. Just a minute. Pulling in, the district patrol car. Sergeant Perkins is going to brief the officers on the situation.
White beating. Threw her on the floor of the trailer. He's drunk. He's taken off.
This is the one here. So you want to handle this?
And he just got me by the hair of the head, and he's choked me before. And
if it hadn't been for him, I don't know if I would have killed her.
And he's just nasty when he's drinking, and I've had to call the police before. It's a terrible thing, but I did, and he was taken
to come back tonight?
I don't think so, because I think he knew I was going to call you, and I think that's why he left.
Sober up and leave you alone?
If he sobers up, he will. But he's just insane when he gets to drinking. I've tried to get him not to drink that wine. He just keeps drinking. He drank a whole quart tonight. And he just gets crazy. I got a whole bunch of hair in there. He pulled out of my head if you'd like to see it.
Have you ever filed a complaint against him before?
Yes, once before. But he just gets mad at me for no reason. And he just starts to kill me. He even says he'll kill me. And he might do it. He would do it tonight, I guess.
All that furniture in there is smashed up. He's
rammed
the
pan
through everything
in there.
You want to sign a complaint against him?
Well, the only thing I wanted you to do was take him down in jail until he sobers up. Since he's not here, why, there's no point going any further, I guess.
Well, you think you could call us in time if he did come back tonight?
Oh, yes, I think so. I'll get my daughter to call.
How could I call when he's in there choking you to death?
Well, you could call while he's doing it.
Yeah, and time I get back, you could be dead.
Well, if he comes back, is to give us a call and we'll come right down.
Okay, well, I appreciate it if you come.
Well, here's the situation. The suspect who committed the assault has apparently left the area. His wife and daughter are somewhat reluctant to sign a complaint, and yet they are afraid that he'll return and possibly continue the assault. So Sergeant Perkins is instructing the crew of the district car to check periodically. And if he doesn't return tonight, these instructions will be passed on to the morning watch. Consequently, when the suspect does come back, he'll be picked up and brought in for questioning. Well, did I leave anything out, Sergeant?
Well, that about covers it.
Okay. Get on back into our car once again.
Five 3-1. Unit 5-1 will handle the follow-up. 5-3 clear.
Roger, 5-3.
It's getting late in the evening, and the possibility of rain I mentioned earlier is here now. In fact, it's coming down pretty hard. Now, we've been cruising through the alleys and checking on open establishments, an all-night market, several liquor stores. And now we're parked on a side street with our lights out, keeping an eye on the 24-hour gas station.
All units units in the vicinity, and cars 5-2 and 5-3. At Will Turn and Santa Drive, a woman screaming.
5-2, Roger.
5-3, 10-4.
Taking off now. Rolling out second gear. You probably can hear a tick, tick, tick. That's our windshield wipers. That making sharp turn. That flick you heard was our red light going on. A woman screaming, that's the only information that we have. We're moving out very rapidly. And the, as I started to say, as we started to make that sharp turn, it's raining quite heavily here tonight. The streets are extremely slick, and the car has to be handled with a great deal of care as we move along Washington Boulevard. Our windshield wipers are cleaning off the rain as it hammers into our windshield, and in just a matter of approximately a few seconds, we'll arrive at the location. Watching ahead now, assist in any way we can. Those were water holes that we heard. You probably can hear the water splash on either side of the car as we're rolling down Washington Boulevard. Slowing down, coming into the area.
Check that street. No stop.
Looking directly ahead, there's one of our cars. Our other units that are answering this call. They're coming in from the opposite direction. There they go, swinging off beside us. We're making a U-turn in the middle of the street. Following number two car.
What unit was it that had a call?
I don't, 5-2, I believe.
5-3 to 5-2. Have you located anything?
No, we're looking around, I thought.
And Martin. Right across the street, Sergeant. Out of the car now. Rain is coming down now. It's beating down pretty hard as we're crossing this parking lot. Heading toward a house, stepping over mud puddles, up under a tree. Get out of the rain momentarily and check, see what our officers are doing. They're spread out. Officer Ellis and Edwards are taking one corner of the house. See Sergeant Perkins over here in the back. Let's get over here. We've got it. Here it is. Crossing this little last stretch here in the rain. Across that puddle. And up at the front porch. Looking across, there's a young lady, two young ladies, and a man standing in their night clothes. Let's get in out of the rain and see what the trouble is.
Yeah, we were both in the bed, and the first thing I knew, she was standing up in the bed, and I looked right there and saw that guy. You know, my pants were laying right there. What I saw him do, he had the pants like this, and he just was taking off. So I just took off after him.
I was asleep. She woke me up.
Moving over in the corner for a moment. The victim here is so nervous and out of breath, it's difficult for the officers to obtain any information. But briefly, the situation is this, as I see it. A burglar slipped into their bedroom while he and his wife were asleep and was going through his trousers when his wife woke up and screamed. Subsequently, this man here chased the burglar but lost him in the darkness. Now, that's where we came into the picture.
Well, you wake me up as far as that's concerned.
Did you come right into the house?
Yes.
Was the door open and locked?
It was locked.
Door was locked last night.
So I ran after him all the way. After a while, I was getting on him, and he started to take those little alleys. But there I got kind of scared. He might, you know, right from the corner, he might stop and hit me right there.
Can you give us a description of the fellow?
Well, he was about your height.
About 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
What was he wearing?
He had a soft hat. He had a jacket.
What kind of a jacket? Color, did you notice?
Well,
what dark?
You know, dark or light jacket?
The jacket was lighter than his
pants. Sport coat?
That's all I can tell you.
Does he still have your pants?
Yeah.
Were you the young lady that screamed?
No, she screamed. I live next door. I'm her sister-in-law. See, and I heard her scream. She was yelling for my husband. My husband ran out after the guy, too, but he was barefoot. And
Well, we'll get out and look around the area, and there'll be a uniformed car here, another one to take a report from you on it. They'll be here in a few minutes.
Okay.
We'll get out and see what we can find for you.
All right.
Well, out once again in the rain. Wet and slushy out here. Let's hustle on back to our police car. Inside. Well,
Well, at least we're out of the rain anyway.
We've been cruising the area now for about 20 minutes. So far, no luck.
Let's swing over toward the tracks. Take a look over there.
Okay. Gee, I sure could go for a cup of coffee.
Control 1 to all units. Cancel the want on the suspect in the 459 at Wiltern and Santa Drive. Suspect in custody.
Hey, how about that? Somebody got our prowler.
All units stay in
probably unit 5-2.
Well, I'll be darned.
Well, if this were the movies, we'd have got him. But anyway, we tried.
You have been listening to an actual investigation of a prowler call recorded as it happened. And now, back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
In the case heard tonight of the juveniles stealing explosives, a quick investigation was ordered by the Detective Bureau because of grave danger of injury involved should a large portion of these explosives be set off at one time. Fortunately for all concerned, the officers picked up the boys that night, and the following day, our detectives recovered the remainder of the explosives. As to the disposition, the boys and their parents were directed to appear at an informal hearing at the Juvenile Bureau prior to filing a petition into juvenile court. In the incident where our officers responded to a call regarding a man abusing his wife, a periodic check of the home was made to be sure that no further abuse would take place. In the last case in which a man broke into a private home, he was recognized from the broadcast description by a passing police unit less than half hour later and was booked for violation of 459 of the Penal Code, which is burglary, the maximum penalty of which is 15 years in the state's prison. My department is cooperating in bringing you the on-the-spot action of Night Watch so that you may learn firsthand the real problems facing your police officers and the efforts being exerted to maintain public security. If through this program we're able to drive this home to the nation, then our efforts shall be well rewarded in bringing you the Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have just heard on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch is brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, and is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.